Final hour, 96.5, the Fan, Jay Binkley. Nathan Williams will be here tomorrow as well. From the 913, they could call it OnlyFans. I think there is an OnlyFans, though.
Jay, right? I'm gonna Google that right now and make sure that name isn't taken. Just hold tight.
Football fans?
Hold tight.
Can you register?
The one the texter said. Just hold on just a second.
Oh, hey, don't do that on the work computer.
Oh, I shouldn't? Okay.
No, I think it is real. I think people are getting naked on there, so... yeah, don't do that on the work computer, Nathan.
Okay, thanks for saving me, Bing.
Yeah, football only you can. I think we're good there, but football only makes a lot of sense. That from the 913. Our text line, by the way, Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. 913-586-7965. Also, the phone number as well. Yeah, the football only, we can register real quick with the state, you know. I don't know how easy it is with Kansas. I know Missouri, I've done it before there, but I don't know about Kansas. You register the name real quick, make sure no one's using it, and jump in and use
it. Yeah, I don't think it takes very long to like search and figure out what's taken. Yeah,
all those silly things. Good thing you're an attorney because I need one from time to time. You got this? I used Mike before, man, and he did have it, man. I was 100% on board. He had it, man. I had to use him one time, but he completely had it. There's this host that I follow from Cleveland. Great guy. He works at our sister station in Cleveland. Big sports fan. I'll go on with them and talk Chiefs or whatever. He's been on with me to talk Browns and whatever. But, yeah, they have some good things going, like Cleveland Guardians are going right now. And they just won a title a few years ago with the Cavaliers, right? So I can't feel totally sorry for them. I mean, I did for the longest time because they kept losing and everything. Like everything, they'd get to the finals, but they finally won an NBA title. So at least they have that. But they love the Browns. I hated when they moved that team out of Cleveland because there's diehard fans there, man. Those people eat, sleep, and breathe that football. And I feel bad for them when they moved to Baltimore. I'm glad they got a team back and got to keep the team name. Heck, it was fun in the old stadium watching like Marty Schottenheimer coach and Ernest Biner and Kevin Mack and those guys. But Kevin Stefanski has won Coach of the Year twice. In the NFL. Andy Reid's just won it once. Matter of fact, Matt Nagy's actually won Coach of the Year. Andy Reid's, as many as Andy Reid won, which means the award, you got to suck and then be good, right? And Andy Reid's not going to suck. He's gotten 12 straight years, by the way, of 5-game winning streaks, at least in every one of those years. He just, to be Coach of the Year, to me, it's tougher to keep repeating and being good every year than being bad and then coming back and being good. But bottom line, that's Kevin Stefanski. Now, I don't know what's going on in Cleveland. Clearly, he must feel some kind of job security, but he was asked, the people in the town, they're tired of Deshaun Watson. Again, we talked about the kind of financial ramifications of it, that they're stuck with the payment going forward to Deshaun Watson. They did lose those 3 first-round picks, amongst others, for Deshaun Watson. They're stuck, man. But Jameis Winston is on that team as well, and every Cleveland fan to a man wants him. Deshaun Watson was 0 for 26 on third downs. That was finally rectified yesterday towards the end. But he was 0 for 26 was the spell he was on, Deshaun Watson. This is what Stefanski said. now, tell me this isn't a hostage audio situation where he's sitting there and he's got a gun to his head.
We continue to do everything we can to play good, sound football. I think there were moments of that, obviously, yesterday. I think Deshaun gives us the best chance to win, continues to give us the best chance to win, and we need to play really good offensive football at his position and really at every position to be successful on Sunday.
I saw something funny on Twitter or X or whatever it is last night. It's like, all right, Kevin, blink twice if you're okay. That is not a head coach's decision. That is coming down. This is where things are fractured. We talked about Jerry Jones earlier. You know, he has got he's the GM and the owner and all that. That is Jimmy Haslam telling him who to start because the money is out. He's like, dude, I'm out all this money. He's playing come hell or high water. If Stefanski really wanted, it would not be Deshaun Watson if he was totally in charge of what he's doing. But he's not, and that's pretty weak.
And eventually he's going to have to pay the price with his job, unfortunately.
I mean, he'll get another job. It's the way the NFL goes.
Of course he will.
Coach of the year twice, he'll get another one. It's
2-time coach of the year has taken a, I'd say, a once hapless franchise to the playoffs a few times. And then, you know, I'm not sure what the inner workings of their decision-making process is there. But if he was involved in the clamoring for Deshaun Watson, if that's something that he wanted, I think he does share some of the blame as well. But he's clearly a good coach. They've won in spite of getting nothing from the quarterback most of his time there, with good offensive line, good running game, defense. Good defense.
Miles Garrett.
Absolutely. So, but that is absolutely a canned answer that came down from the top.
100%. Because I've always wondered this theory, Nathan, whether you can apply this to baseball or the NFL. Hear me out on this. The coach in football or manager in baseball, right? They get amnesia. We're talking great coaches, you know, like Belichick, Andy Reid level coaches, Joe Torre level coach. We're talking about these managers that they get amnesia and they show up to spring training or training camp, right? And they have no idea where you were drafted, how much money you made, who would actually be on your team or not. Not looking at your contract, you have 2 more years left or 1 more year left. Like playing just the right person. And we just don't see that in sports. You don't, because that comes in there, man. How much we're paying somebody, how much we think we'll get for this person if we flip this person, or what we need to do for next year to get the player we need to come in. But they don't have that mindset of, I'm just going to play the best guys to win this game, because there is other things like this, which is really sad, what's taking part in Cleveland, because that organization is ruined now because of that.
Well, I think coaches do have more of that mindset compared to the general manager. And if the coaches had the decision-making ability, I think you'd see more of that. I think with the general manager's job so tied to their financial decisions in that way, you unfortunately don't have the ability to play who's just the best player. Stefanski's going to have to keep trotting this answer out there until at least the middle of next season. We'll see how far they fall. We'll see if they draft a quarterback, if they bring somebody else in next year. But with his dead cap hit next season, they're not leaving the contract. They're not going to leave it until after 2025, and they'll still have some of a cap hit in 2026, but it'd be like $90 million of dead cap next year if they moved on from him. It'll be the middle of next season by the 100%. Time he gets benched.
And 92 still guaranteed because it was a guaranteed contract he got. And one thing about Stefanski is, if I'm an owner, I don't know if I'm hiring this dude, because if you don't have any backbone and you're playing a guy that's not the best guy to play to win, and keep in mind, you got other players on that team. You got other players on that team you have to be responsible to, because those guys want to win. And when you're trotting out there a quarterback that essentially is not giving you that chance to win, bad things can happen.
I mean, you've heard, again, murmurs and unconfirmed reports of a similar thing happening in New England, of guys being unhappy with their coaches. And I know they have a guy there they're working on waiting in the wings, and that he's supposed to take over. Didn't watch the Patriots game yesterday, so couldn't tell you about that. But they are upset that they're trotting a guy like Jacoby Brissett out there week after week after week that has clearly seen better days, and clearly does not give him the best chance to win. You do have to feel for the other 52 guys on that Browns roster.
Former Chief Mitch Schwartz really breaks things down well on Twitter. Does a great job. But he's also the co-host of the Fans Football Show we do on Friday night. He tweeted this: "It's incredibly blank to do this to the rest of the team. Joel Bitonio, who's on that offensive line in Cleveland, because that's where Mitch came from, is Cleveland's way he's really speaking on this. Joel Bitonio is out there every week playing through who knows what and has to wreck his body when they have no chance of being good because of the quarterback. Miles Garrett is playing in pain every week. But yet you're starting him to be a quarterback. And that's a bad culture around it. When you're trotting out there and you're in pain and you're playing, you're trying to win, and you get this quarterback, you're not 100% sure if they're locked in or if they're just to cash a check with it looks like what it is now at this point, who goes 0 for 26 on third down. Man, you got to be the dude, man. Especially in the AFC, if you're going to be a top quarterback, you got to be the guy. And there's no confidence in that at all. And it just shows you how kind of lucky we are here in Kansas City.
Yeah, of course we are. And even the guys that aren't Mahomes, right? The rest of that great AFC quarterback crop that still does exist, and it's led by Allen and Stroud and Jackson and Burrow. Their teams clearly rally around them and embody their personality. That never had, based on the amount, just not even considering what happened off the field with Deshaun Watson. I believe based on the amount of time he was away from the game, based on the legal process as well as the injuries, I don't think that really had a chance of ever getting off the ground in terms of culture. Nobody knew this guy or what he stood for or what he was as a leader. I think that went by the wayside when he left Houston. So and then add to it maybe, you know, alleged character defects this guy has off the field as well. Who's signing up to rally behind this guy?
Yeah, good luck getting free agents, and that whole fan base is just beside themselves on what to do, and because they like that team, it's you understand why these teams win here. You got to let the guy. You got to take their back, man. Like Ned Yost, he did, man. He always had the back of Escobar or whatever. He always take blames for steals or bunts or whatever because he'd get the temperature of what was going to go on, and he would do it, and the players respect that. Andy Reid doesn't throw his players on the bus like we saw Doug Peterson do here or heard Doug Peterson do here. He just doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. And guys respect that. And I'll never forget J.C. Pearson used to do a show with you say, man, treat us like a grown-ass man. That's what we are. You know, treat us like that. But you got to win the locker room, man. That's how you build your culture. And this spineless activity with trotting Jameis Winston out there when this season isn't completely lost and wasn't completely lost, you just gave Philadelphia a run for their money in Philly. And yet, that's basically without a quarterback.
Yeah, and speaking of Philly, you got another guy who can't be winning over a locker room or a fan base there as well.
They Nick Sirianni, yeah. It just shows you how delicate this is in the NFL.
Absolutely.
To find that coach. This is why Belichick will command, because he wins. And people want someone proven that wins. Or you want that quarterback that has won. Joe Flacco gets a lot of crap, like, is he elite or whatever? But Joe Flacco does win where he goes. And keep in mind, I know we make fun of Joe Flacco, and I didn't really like his attitude when he was in Denver and Drew Locke was there, the Kansas City kid, because I don't think...
Oh, and he said it wasn't his job.
It's not his job to groom him, but he wins. He won with Cleveland last year. He won with the Ravens. That second Super Bowl he won their defense. It was because of him. And he looked good yesterday. You know, when he played, just some guys can win and some guys don't, but you do have to win the locker room. I mean, that's very important to do that. Well, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs should have a chip on their shoulder coming up this weekend against San Francisco. We'll explain that next. And welcome back to After Hours. The Bills got a touchdown, and Tyler Bass had his kick blocked. It was a terrible kick. He had it blocked. Everybody remembers him and his miss last year. Joe Buck, who's doing the game, actually said, quote, "I've seen better kicks than that on college game day," which is true whenever McAfee grabs somebody, you know, from the audience, because we've seen back-to-back field goals in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, was it last week he gave the kid the money, but also donated to like the hurricane.
Yes,
the first one
gave
hurricane
him a second chance.
Relief.
Gave him a second. Yes. He drilled a man. It was right through the middle. Like, it's crazy.
Yep,
like right through. Juan Soto has gone yard for New York as well, as that scores 4-0 at this point. Bottom of the fifth, 4-0 Yankees over the Guardians. Of course, earlier today the Mets beat the Dodgers 7-3, and how much time we have left in the first half in this game? We've got, it's 2:49 left in the second as the Bills up by 3. It is their bowl. And an important game to see which direction these franchises go. Because AFC East is up for grabs, man.
So the Jets gave away play calling duties?
They did.
Is that what I saw?
Todd Downing does it now.
So who's the interim head coach?
Jeff Ulbrich, their defensive coordinator.
So what does Nathaniel Hackett do?
He's the offensive coordinator.
But he doesn't call the plays.
No.
Neither does their head coach, who was the defensive-minded guy.
No, yeah. He's so Todd Downing's calling the play. He's
just Rodgers' buddy. That's what he's paid to do there.
He's the emotional support,
I guess,
coach.
It's
like some people have dogs, like the emotional support dogs or animals. He's the emotional support coach.
The Jets have to win tonight.
Yeah. Hey. You know, I thought, you know, Miami, this was theirs for the taking, man. They've built that team up. They've been building up their defense, their offense. I mean, this was going to be theirs. That's the quarterback with Tua being hurt. This is not good for them. By the way, it looks like Cooper Kupp will be coming back. It looks like that was the latest report that he practiced today and looked okay.
Big news for my fantasy team.
There you go.
Not everyone cares about that. Big news.
The Coop. I told people, too, that that first game, I was like, if you have Tyreek Hill starting, because remember he got detained there for a second. It's like, man, he's going to be mad. He's going to be like Scotty Scheffler. Because Scotty Scheffler went out that same day and shot a great round at a major.
Yeah, I was like, doing Fesco that morning, and it had just happened. Yeah, that was crazy.
I was here with you, and he goes, that, which totally throws out the window of prepare, practice, get everything ready, your routine. When things like that happens, you've been arrested, and you go out and have your best round of golf ever.
Muscle memory take over at that point.
The Chiefs, by the way, are the underdog in Frisco. 1.5 points. I think it comes. I heard Alex Gold say the number day. It's like 1 point. It used to be 3 points. They'd say if you're home, you always automatically get 3 points. Now it's more like 1.8. So in essence, they're still the underdog. Do you know what Mahomes' record is when he's the underdog?
I'd say it's pretty good.
It is.
Okay.
You care? It would say okay. There's 12 games.
I'd say he's won 10 of them.
Actually, 13. Excuse me. There's 13 of them. Okay. So he's 11-1-1. 10-3 straight
against
up.
Against the spread. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Against the spread. Gotcha. As an underdog, he's 11-1-1. Why would you bet first? Chiefs have won the last four games against San Francisco. Not only that, but a couple years ago in 2022, when they went out there, that was the most impressive one of the year, when they went out there and just laid it down on Frisco. And that's when they just had traded for McCaffrey and they had him out there and everything else, but they just put it down. And, you know, in Frisco, they're talking a lot about this game, right? They're fearful for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's all they talk about. They're like Buffalo, because every time you're going on Buffalo station, like instead of talking about the team, they talk about that 13 seconds. I mean, it like dances in their brain like Fred Astaire, man. It just keeps tap dancing. You know what I mean? Live it in their heads. The Chiefs live in the Bengals' heads, the fans. And some of the Bengals, like Cam Taylor-Britt, but they do. They just constantly, I guess that's what you want to be as a sports team, where you don't really, you're like whatever with them, but for you, you're everything. Like you're the Broncos. Beating the Chiefs is everything, because they'd lost 16 straight before they beat them last year. That meant everything to that franchise. The Chiefs don't care. They care more about personal vendettas, like the whole Muppet thing and Patrick Mahomes and the Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll take it out on them.
I think the 49ers and their fans approach it better than these AFC teams like Baltimore and Buffalo and Cincinnati. Whereas from those teams, you see like bitterness towards the Chiefs. San Francisco, I view it less as a rivalry and see them more just like frustrated. Like we just can't get past these guys. I don't think there's much personal, you know, beyond that.
Oh, they are. They are. I mean, but you know, if we'd lost them in two, you know, straight Super Bowls and four straight against them, okay, let's beat this team. It'll feel good to beat this team. Our sister station, 95.7 The Fan in the Bay Area, had this conversation with their host.
It's a warrior-like feel to them, where it's like Kevin Durant and Steph, all right, we'll play 6 minutes of good ball and we'll knock you out in the fourth quarter. That's what it feels like when I watch them. And I know we're really, 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 really good. And we keep looking over at them and I'm like, but they're better.
They are better.
And it drives me nuts.
They are better.
I hate saying it. Like, you know it drives me nuts. And I watch that guy, Mahomes.
Oh,
God, he's awesome and I hate him.
It was 95-7, the game in San Francisco. That's just reality, man.
Yeah, and I think they're approaching it the right way, as opposed to being like, oh, we should have won last year if it wasn't for this call, and, you know, posting freeze frames from the Super Bowl 5 years ago.
Yeah, when it's like, man, they themselves better. Have the penalties. And
he's better.
Chiefs are...
We just can't get past him.
Chiefs are a big-time penalized team this year. I mean, last year in the middle of the pack, but the bottom line is, yeah, let's get past them. Let's get right. That whole mindset. But you've always wanted that. That's an ultimate compliment, because I've always felt this way about Elway. You know, hey, how can we beat this guy? I hate this guy, but I want to beat him. I felt that way about Madison Bumgarner.
Sure.
Like, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. It's not a hatred. I hate to see him walk out. He scared the hell out of us all when he walks out of that bullpen, right, mm-hmm. in Game 7. Mm-hmm. Like, ugh.
I felt that way about Brady at the end of his career. I know at the start of his career, we liked to nitpick and stuff more, but at the end of it, he got a lot more respect. And especially that AFC Championship game, is like, we just couldn't get past that guy. Mahomes... Everything he touched in that second half turned to gold. We just couldn't get past Tom Brady.
And then it's the hardest thing, really, in sports, is to win those close games. You've seen so many of these teams just lose those type of games. Like, the Raiders would find a way to lose the close games. The Royals, until they turned that corner, would find a way. Well, they found a way to win them in Baltimore, and that was a good thing, because they're winning close games. Like, that was important. But then against the Yankees, they were losing close games. Like, that's the last thing that you want, is to lose those close games. But it's what the Chiefs do. This team doesn't light up the scoreboard anymore. They've transitioned to who and what they are all the time, because they're getting everybody's best shot. And again, the amount of football this team has played, when you're going all the way to the Super Bowl, the AFC title game every year, that starts taking their toll on a lot of teams. The Chiefs now have won 11 straight games without scoring more than 27 points. That ties in an NFL record. Previous holder? 1928-29 Packers. 11 straight games not scoring more than 27 points. But the bottom line is, they're W's. And that's all you're going to be judged with at the end of the day is, did you win or lose? Because no one's going to go back, well, we had this go our way, that. No one cares in 5 years when I look at the annals, say, hey, you won the game, right? So move on.
You're right. And Bink, you've talked frequently about the 1920s Buffalo Bison when it comes to that
1929 Buffalo Bison. Yeah.
Tell me about the 28 and 29 Packers, would you?
Well, 11 straight games they won with less than 27 points.
Okay, I thought you'd have more than that.
No, I like that. The 1932-33 Bears went 9 straight.
Of winning games without scoring 27 points?
Without scoring more than 27 points.
Well, and we talked about Snead earlier. The defense hasn't taken a step back. I'd argue they've been even more timely in their big playability. You think about that Atlanta game on those two short distance plays at the end of the game. They haven't missed a beat seemingly without L'Jarius Snead, and he's sort of fallen off a cliff in Tennessee as well. So nothing to suggest it's going to slow down either.
Now you see why the Chiefs did invest in it, because you can't always do that. By the way, the Chiefs are number one in the NFL, again, for most consecutive seasons with minimum 5-game winning streak. Because every year Andy's been here, he's had at least a 5-game winning streak, which is tough to do when you put 5 wins together in the NFL. That's never been done before in the NFL either. A lot of these records are just insane when you think about what this team is doing. I just think that I just think a lot of it, the respect of doing it each and every year, because we see so many fly by seat of the pants teams, flavors of the week. As we mentioned Jacksonville earlier, they went to the AFC title game, they didn't parlay it. You know, the Rams won a Super Bowl, they didn't parlay anything off that. You know, Jacksonville didn't even go to the playoffs last year. Miami has been taking those steps, but not parlaying. Obviously, injury is a big part of that. Buffalo Bills, we've seen the same thing. They're just not parlaying off their success. With the Chiefs, it's continual. It's ending up in the AFC Championship each and every year. They've gone the 6 straight, to be honest with you. I think it could have been 7 had they made that switch at halftime from Alex Smith, Mahomes, against the Titans, which they barely lost.
The 21-3 game, the deflected pass, Darrell Revis game. It's impressive, and we're seeing a lot of the second iterations of these teams that the Chiefs have broken, right? The Blake Bortles iteration was destroyed by the Chiefs in 2019 in that Week 5 game when Miles Jack thought something was funny. And now they've outlived the Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence version. We're seeing the second version of the Houston Texans with C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans have success. We're seeing, I mean, we could joke about the many iterations of the Chargers, but we saw the Phillip Rivers version, and now we're seeing the Herbert and Harbaugh version start to have some sort of traction, all under the leadership of Mahomes and Reid, and it's only been 7 seasons. The longevity is the most impressive part about Andy Reid.
No, it's great. You'll still see people pick against him. Remember 2 years ago, Kyle Brandt's like, I'm not picking against the Chiefs again. You think they're going to slide, and they don't. Just last year, that Raiders game on Christmas Day, I'll never forget that post game. We said, it's Christmas Day, and you're sitting here, and they played like crap, man. And you're sitting there going, which direction are they going to go? They got the Bengals coming next. It's not going to be Burrow. It's going to be Downing, you know, starting the game. It's like fork in the road, dynasty or downfall. I mean, it was that precarious of a situation for the team where a weak-minded head coach, they go in a losing streak or slump, and maybe Kelce didn't want to come back anymore, and the team starts to rebuild itself. Who knows? They have rebuilt right in front of your eyes, by the way, because hardly anybody's here pre-Mahomes, but Chris Jones, Kelce, and James Winchester, and Harrison Butker.
Well, the theme of tonight has been me bringing it all back to Nick Sirianni. Weak-minded head coach would have lost the locker room. You saw it last year at the same time. They started off 9-1 or 10-1 or whatever. Couldn't finish games down the stretch, limp into the playoffs, and go get the brakes beat off them in Tampa Bay. That's what would have happened with someone unlike Andy Reid manning the ship.
It's just about winning those close games. And again, I'll bring up the Baltimore thing. They did give 38 points 2 weeks ago to Cincinnati. It's been 2 seasons ago the Chiefs actually did that. And they barely did that. They did it in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. That's why I had the restart going into last year. But they didn't do it. And every game is close. Where I've seen great quarterbacks get the doors blown off them all the time. Even Brady. I'd see go up with second game of the year and lose like 34-3 to the Lions or whatever when they had no business beating the Patriots. I've seen other quarterbacks lose by a lot more than one score. And I sit here and watch in primetime. These quarterbacks are getting an ungodly amount of money that aren't winning. That's got to be frustrating to an organization, because once you pay that quarterback, you better be good in the draft room. And that's one thing the Chiefs have been able to do, is be good in the draft room 100%. I mean, they've had to be. You have to be that good going forward. Andy Reid spoke today on a few things. Talked about Kareem Hunt. Can he handle the workload, the carries? He got 27 carries his last game. Can that continue? And what are they going to do about Clyde next? Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Nathan Williams, producing the operation. I always can tell your musical taste, whoever produces, by what's played. You're a fan of the classics.
I'm a fan of classic rock. The first hour tonight, I don't know if you picked up on the theme.
What was the theme?
It was tropical. It was off-season based because we were talking about the 2024 Kansas City Royals. Some Beach Boys, some Escape. Then back into the classic rock once the Royals talk stopped.
What Rupert Holmes Escape was it? The margarita song?
It was, the Pina Colada song.
The Pina Colada song. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was, this is my favorite ever.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. It's the one that Dustman would always play.
Yeah.
When I would join him. Monday Night Football continues to roll around. 20-10 now. Buffalo Bills are winning 20-10 over the Jets on the road. They have the ball. 21 seconds left. Unless my computer hadn't refreshed. I got the game on TV too, but sometimes one is faster than the other.
No, you're right. The extra point was just kicked, and we got a few seconds left here in the first half.
And the Guardians have scored now. It's 4-1 New York Yankees.
Yeah. Brian Rocchio home run. What do you know about Brian Rocchio?
Not a ton.
Yeah.
Not a ton. You?
Not a ton. I've watched him play against the Kansas City Royals. I know he has been productive at times at the bottom of Cleveland's order. That's about it.
Yeah, he's the bottom of the order. He's the last guy up. I mean,
he tattooed that baseball.
He was like Mendoza line hitter this year for him, I believe. Or pretty close to it during regular season, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, and the Guardians don't have anything scary outside of Jose Ramirez either, which is the way a lot of baseball teams are built, is you got one or two guys to get through.
They get the lowest payroll and lower than the Royals.
Absolutely,
four.
Yeah.
Got to be good in the front office.
Yankees are an anomaly, man.
They are an anomaly, but at least that they're seeing the cash go to work, but not with Aaron Judge. Has Aaron Judge done anything tonight? I know Soto home run.
Hasn't driven in any runs. I know he scored on one of the wild pitches. Not sure how he got on base.
But Aaron Judge is betting 143 now. He does have one hit. No, excuse me, doesn't have a hit. He did get on base, like you said. He had a walk. He's hitting 143. They're pitching around him is what they're doing. But it's, Austin Wells hitting behind him, hitting 105 is not helping out Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is helping out Juan Soto, this bet in front of him, clearly.
Well, there was a lot of talk about, at least in the media and amongst fans, about moving Stanton up to protect Judge instead of Wells. But Boone has stuck with Wells in that cleanup spot. So we will see if Judge breaks out of this at any point.
Yeah, I would definitely do that if I was them. Stanton's having a real postseason, 333. He's batting there. Andy Reid had his press conference, his first one of the week for the 49ers game this week. And he addressed Kareem Hunt because Kareem Hunt had 27 carries the last game and he had one reception that game. Is that something to expect? Can he handle that kind of a workload each and every week, considering he basically what came out of the couch to play in that game last week?
Yeah, I told you, I mentioned before that he came back in pretty good shape other than not having played football. And that's held true to this point. So he's been able to do a good job in practice when he was on the scout team. And then he worked through that and he was able to get in the game, and we started him off relatively slow, but and then increased it, and he was able to handle both those things. So I think we'll just see how the game goes, but I feel comfortable with him carrying the ball, and we've got Steele backing him up there, and he had a few carries that were productive. So
well, I thought Kareem looked good for a guy that wasn't on a team, had to wait for the right situation, didn't go to training camp. Then they kind of just blow holes through the theory of how important training camp is. Well, Darius Sneed, speaking of Sneed, is not having a great year with the Titans, but he had an awesome year with the Chiefs last year. He didn't practice once in St. Joe. He was always on the injury report. And I think a lot of that stuff is planned, but here's a Kareem Hunt just steps in. Juju steps in and does his deal because they knew the offense. But some guys are able to take care of themselves and some not. Kareem, props to him because he did.
Chris Jones didn't.
Yeah,
do anything until week
Monster
two
year.
Last season and just stuck, got right back into the swing of things. And we all know that we're moving eventually to a season with an 18th game and a second bye week. And you would think at least one, if not two, of the preseason games go by the wayside as well.
They're going to take that cash and get that extra TV window. That's 100% what they're going to do. They'll take away that preseason game because preseason games don't matter. The Chiefs were one of two teams that didn't practice with a scrimmage another team in training camp.
Right.
Raiders are the other. And I was like, why would they? I mean, think about it. I understand why he's doing it. You're facing an awesome defense. And you're facing, if you're Mahomes, you're facing Spags all the time. And Spags, you're facing Mahomes all the time. So you're seeing the best of the best. You're not going to see better than that. Here's Andy Reid when he's talking about the left tackle situation with Wanye Morris. Is it 100% his job yet? Or can Kingsley still come in and take that job? Here's his thoughts on his left tackle.
Yeah, we obviously looked at that. And we'll just, you know, both of them can do better. And so Wanye knows what he's got to work on, and likewise Kingsley does. And we're lucky to have both young guys, and we're kind of growing with them here. So we'll kind of let that process keep rolling.
Now, that was brutal honesty. They could both be better. I mean, that was 100% brutal honesty. In my opinion, like Kingsley, like you need him to work out. Wanye, eventually, I thought he could be, didn't think he was a permanent fixture, but a swing tackle you could have, because both these guys played right and left in college at tackle, but you don't want to address that in the draft. Like, you have so many other needs to address. By the way, did you see the pass? I haven't seen that yet. I was sitting there busy talking, but Aaron Rodgers connected on a Hail Mary, and it's 20-17. Buffalo Bills is the Jets. The J-E-T-S Jets strike with the Hail Mary.
The Hail Mary King strikes again. Rodgers is better at that than any quarterback we've ever watched play football. And it was his buddy. We mocked the Jets for having his cronies. But it was Alan Lazard who caught the Hail Mary. So, yeah, the Jets get right back, punch right back, and it's a three-point game in halftime.
Three-point Alan Lazard, 52 yards from Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers' arms. Freaking incredible. I mean,
but he's always done that. He did that in Detroit on Thursday night. He did that. That playoff game, I forget what year it was, that the Packers went down to Arizona, and it was like two Hail Marys from the opposing end zone to score to tie that game late. They ended up losing on the big Fitzgerald run. But like, just one of the most miraculous things I've ever seen is his ability to connect on that pass. And I, like, how many times have the Chiefs ever hit, can you think of a time the Chiefs hit on a Hail Mary off the top of your head?
No, I can't. I can't think of it.
And he's done it like four or five times. It's a really strange ability that he has.
If I had to ask you right now, who would be your MVP, NFL MVP? Mahomes is the leader in the clubhouse on FanDuel. He's plus 300. Lamar Jackson, plus 550. CJ Stroud, plus 550 as well. The really funny thing is, way down on the list is Derrick Henry at plus 6,000, which he's been the real reason Baltimore's been winning. But I digress. Who would be your MVP at this point?
I don't think I can rely on stats for my answer, because I don't think anyone is really blowing me out of the water in terms of their individual performance, except for Derrick Henry, knowing that this is a quarterback position, is my point. The answer is, in my opinion, and who I believed was going to win it at the start of the season, is Josh Allen. I think if he takes the Bills to the playoffs after losing Stephon Diggs, the national media will have the narrative that he needs to get the treatment that Patrick Mahomes got for dragging that team to the playoffs after losing Tyreek Hill. And I know Allen doesn't have, he's not leading the league in touchdowns. He's limited the turnovers this season, and it's to be seen yet if they win tonight and they stay in first place and that sort of a thing. I think Josh Allen, if the Bills go to the playoffs, is the MVP, stats aside.
I can't argue with you on that one. I will say this. The one guy that I think didn't get enough credit for what he's doing and how he's turned around a team and his level of play is Jared Goff.
100%.
Like, we have to just understand this. You know, Jared Goff was kind of looked at as an afterthought. He made the Super Bowl, got beat by the Patriots. Yeah, flip him to get Matt Stafford, obviously win a ring. But when he went 18 for 18 last week, not this week, but the week before, 18 of 18, and he caught a touchdown pass, that was insanity.
And can we agree?
And his quarterback rating last night was perfect, by the way.
It was. He's been very good, very good. CJ Stroud will be in that conversation. Can we agree, though, that after watching this year's 49ers team, McCaffrey should have gotten a lot more love for MVP last season? I know it's a quarterback award.
Yeah.
Watching them without him makes you realize how big of a deal he is to that team.
His rating, Goff against Dallas, 153.8. Against Seattle the week before, 155.8. Against Arizona, 113.6.
You put that with a head coach with a killer attitude, good, fast weapons on the outside, and a team that wins with the offensive line, you're going to be in a lot of football games.
Yeah, they have a head coach that believes in them. They want to believe in him. I mean, Dan Campbell's doing a hell of a job up there for them. Coming up next, though, last segment of the show, but I want to look back, overreaction, reaction to the NFL. We'll do that next. Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Nathan Williams. You know, that's Aaron Rodgers' fourth completed Hail Mary in his career.
I believe it.
That's insanity.
Well, and if you wouldn't mind telling me the four, because are they counting both of those in the Arizona game?
2015, Week 13 versus the Lions, 61-yard pass to Richard Rodgers.
Richard Rodgers, yes.
2016, NFC Wild Card game, playoff game versus the Giants.
Oh.
So I don't know about the other one. The Cardinals would be the other one. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, four that have resulted in touchdowns. But yeah, I know that to tie that Cardinals game. They were short on time. He threw a pass from his own end zone to midfield. That was a Hail Mary. And I know maybe that's not the definition of it that you know, you can find online. But
what's the record for Rodgers now? And he just extended that record.
Absolutely. It's an uncanny. And the text line does point out, you know, they had the Hail Mary in Dallas in 2016. But the point wasn't like, oh, the Chiefs never do this. It's like nobody. Like the Hail Mary is... it's just rare. And Rodgers has an uncanny knack for completing that. It's just strange.
You're talking about the one that was the double Hail Mary. That was in 2016. That was against the Cardinals. It was that one. The double Hail Mary. That counted as well. So, yeah. So now he's got four of them, which is insanity for Aaron Rodgers. So each and every week, CBS Sports puts these overreactions. I love the overreactions. We start, you know, closing the book on this week with the Monday Night Football game right now. Overreaction, they have overreaction or reality. Mike McCarthy will get fired during the bye week for the Dallas Cowboys. He puts on overreaction.
Agreed.
I think he'll wait it out. And you know what? I've always been like this too. If you have a coach and you see these coaches and stuff that get fired when teams 0-11 or 1-11, stuff like that, right? Like Nathaniel Hackett when he was in Denver. I would let them continue coaching. Because I want a better draft pick, right? Instead of like visually tanking or purposely tanking, if your coach has lost control, let him finish it out and get a better draft pick and then fire him. You know what I'm saying? Like the worst thing you can do, and we've seen this happen in the NFL, the worst thing you can do is when you fire your coach, oftentimes they play for that interim coach hard. Like they will go out there and you'll get some run, and you don't want those one or two wins. Because last year, I was looking at the Chargers did this with Staley. They literally lost like three or four draft positions. Well, they could have lost it, but they ended up losing the game. But had they won, they would have lost like four draft positions. That's the difference in a quarterback or not if you're one of these teams.
Totally. And I mean, you're right about that playing for an interim head coach. But Dallas, I don't think their basement, their floor is getting – a draft pick, you know, in the top 10 or 15 of the draft. I think
even if
it goes south, they're going to win 7 or 8 games. So I think you stick with McCarthy anyway and go into next season with a fresh face. I think it's an overreaction.
Yeah. Also, Bears will make the playoffs. They have a Caleb Williams rookie season. Overreaction in reality. They put on overreaction.
I mean, do you think four teams out of the NFC North are going to the playoffs?
I mean.
Or do you think the Commanders or Eagles get one of those spots?
I also look at who you just played.
Sure.
You just did it against
the
Jaguars.
Four and two, you know?
Oh, I know. They've.
Caleb has looked better and better each week, even though it was against the Jaguars. And I believe the Packers and the Lions are the two best teams in the NFC and will meet in the NFC Championship game. But the Vikings are 5-0. All they've got to do is go .500 the rest of the way, and they're in the playoffs also.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, agreed. And I think I don't think they're going to be one of the top teams in the NFC. But because of the amount of teams in their own division ahead of them, I'd probably say it's an overreaction.
Well, and you know, they played the Bears, played Texans earlier. CJ Stroud got to go against them. Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels versus
Caleb.
Versus Caleb is something I want to see. Like, that is something I want to see because I like Jaden Daniels a ton.
He's the truth.
But that's one I'd like to see.
That's next weekend, right? Not this coming week, but okay.
With the Bears, that's a game that
everyone wants it flexed.
That should be, but the Bears, you see them squaring off against each other on the 27th.
Okay.
So it's after this week. It's the next week. It's a noon game on CBS. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Do the right thing. Flex that bad boy. Flex that bad boy. One more overreaction, underreaction. Jared Goff is on the greatest two-game stint for any quarterback in NFL history. Overreaction, reality. They put reality.
I mean,
it's hard to argue that. He did go 18 for 18 the other game. I mean, he's on a heater, man.
And they beat the tar out of the Cowboys, man. I mean, they were throwing it to, like, offensive linemen and stuff.
Yeah, like Ben Johnson went a little crazy. I agreed with Brady on that. Like, they're doing every trick in the book, man.
Well, it was
like,
sour. Say something, man. That game in Dallas was sour last year. Late in the season, the Dallas ended up winning the bad call. The Lions clearly had a personal vendetta against the Cowboys.
I mean, we saw two straight series still in the lineman.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one of the plays that I really liked was Jaden Daniels. Instead of the flea flicker where they hand it around and pass it back to the quarterback, instead of throwing downfield, it was a short, like, out to Eckler. Loved that play. Yeah. Went for, like, 25 yards. Yeah. Like, I love that play.
It's so fun.
Anyway, Nathan, great stuff. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow.
You'll be here tomorrow, and we'll talk about Tom Brady owning part of the Raiders. We'll do that tomorrow. But Dusty and Bob, 5:58 in the morning.